Today, it's all about writing on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. We'll ask Michael Hustetti to teach us how to write across the curriculum. Then we'll ask Garrison Keillor to bring us the Writer's Almanac on Scribble.
Hello, Michael. I'm here to ask you some questions about what in the world is going on with writing at the college level. My mother was a college student in the 1930s, and she took freshman English, and I was at the same college 30 years later taking freshman English, and I came to Augie in 1960, and I taught the same course my mother had back in the 1920s, a theme a week, and a little bit of grammar review. And by the time I retired in 1999, freshman English was becoming a bad word. And it's been replaced, among other things, and let's start there, with something you mentioned when I talked to you a couple of weeks ago, writing across the curriculum. What is going on with writing in colleges these days?
Well, I hate to say this, but the idea of writing across the curriculum is, in fact, not a new idea.
No,
it dates back certainly into the 1980s. It was going on before that as well, but it really hit its stride in the mid to late 1980s. Back then, I was teaching at a small local college called Marycrest College. You might remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
And in 1984, we received an NEH grant to bring in a fellow from Pennsylvania. Bob Weiss, and he was a writing across the curriculum guru from the East Coast, and he helped to get it started with us at Marycrest. At about the same time, just a couple of years later, the husband of a former colleague of yours here at Augustana, Owen Rogel, his wife Margie was in your library for many years. Owen got the bug and said, you know, we really ought to have writing across the curriculum here at St. Ambrose. And so about 1986-87, St. Ambrose started their program. And Owen kicked it off. They brought in another person, Carl Herzig, and then another person. And finally, in 2000, they hired me. So it's passed through various hands. But the basic structure is not to replace freshman English. That still is the bedrock course that is taught at St. Ambrose and probably most colleges
in
this area.
Well, it's not at Augie anymore.
Not anymore?
No, I think almost every teacher in every discipline teaches writing. It is not the prerogative of English teachers anymore.
Well, that's fine. That sounds like co-college.
Right.
And I think that's probably because you are a selective college.
Okay, I don't know. But
yeah. That has become, right, among selective colleges that is more common. Where they won't have a freshman English class. But even, and I'll use COA as an example, and you can speak for Augustana, they do have a freshman writing course, but students do not universally enroll in it. If they come properly prepared and they can go into their disciplines, they continue to develop college-level writing in those disciplines. But for those students who aren't quite as well prepared, there is a freshman class. Marycrest had that. And even with writing across the curriculum, we continue to have freshman English. And at St. Ambrose as well, we continue to have English 101, freshman English. The majority of students will take that course, but not all students. Ever more students are taking the equivalent of freshman English in high school now. They'll do it through a community college, something like that. They perhaps have a very strong writing program in their high school, and they will clap out of the course, so they get credit for it that way. But the whole point of freshman English, whether that's a good idea or not, writing across the curriculum raised the question. Is it really the responsibility of the English department and English teachers to fix those students, to get them to be college writers? Theory and practice suggests, well, no, writing is something which is developmental. They come in as freshmen, continue through sophomore, junior, senior year. If they aren't English majors, in their disciplines they will be writing for that audience. And so ideally, those students need to gain competence in writing in biology or in theology or in mathematics or whatever it might be from instructors who work in that discipline and know that voice. That's the whole point.
So is writing different in biology from
decidedly.
English?
Oh, decidedly.
In what way, for instance?
Well, okay. From one position, style. The sciences, we use either APA or a variation of that. There are scientific styles as well. English still uses MLA. History uses Chicago or Turabian. I mean, different faculties use different styles. But it goes beyond style. The voice or the point of view that is used in writing has also evolved since your mother was taking the course
right.
and you were teaching it. I'm assuming when you were in college, you were told to write in an academic voice, which was always third person. Occasionally, you could use first person. You would never use second person. The second person admonition continues to be there. There are times when it is used, especially in technical writing, or when we're writing to communicate with a specific audience, you is probably okay. But it's not a formal academic voice. Third person is always acceptable, but more and more we're seeing first person coming in. We want that person who is writing to be part of the conversation.
I noticed that even in going to the English conferences during my last few years at Augustana, it used to be that you did keep yourself out of any kind of paper, but I heard papers in which a colleague would stand up and say, Poe was my favorite writer because my father used to read him, you know, when I was 5 years old, and so that's how I got hooked on, and then go into the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that used to be absolutely forbidden.
Times have changed.
Well, yes. We've become more egocentric now, that's all. But the whole bit, you know, it sounds rather formidable, writing across the curriculum. Mm-hmm. That simply means that no matter what class you take, you're going to do some writing.
So what's your part in that? Do you have to teach, go into the biology teachers and talk to them about teaching writing?
We do offer workshops, seminars on strategies that can be used. I try to make sure that the library has appropriate texts that address the different disciplines so that instructors can move in and take a look at those. Most of my colleagues in the disciplines don't need to be taught how to write. They are quite accomplished in their own fields. They may need to have some help in learning how to approach students to use writing, and this is part of writing across the curriculum. We use writing to inform learning of the content. And in turn, through the writing, they develop stronger writing skills. So it's we're not just teaching them to write. We're teaching them to think in the discipline. And then they are demonstrating that thinking in the writing that they do for the discipline. It is, and going back to an earlier point that you had, Roald, when one writes a lab report is constructed differently than a summary of a literary text. It's just a different strategy. Different terms are used. The narrative itself is different. And I don't want to teach students in my writing class to write like lit majors, or in my particular case, language majors, so much as I want them to be able to be open to what they'll get in their biology class or their theology class or whatever it might be, their nursing class, so they can write as those disciplines write.
You know, I was a biology major.
Mm-hmm.
And the only writing I did was on tests and writing down notes. I worked on lab animals, and the prof came around and judged. But the only time I had occasion to write anything is when I did a seminar and did a dissection manual on snakes, how to dissect a snake.
Mm-hmm.
But that was very technical, point by point, precise. Nothing I would call literature. What do you find in biology to write about? I went out into the field and I used caught a snake with a forked stick and put it in a bag. And
sounds like Walden. Come on.
Right.
I think I should ask Brenda Peters to come in from our biology department to talk about that. No, they are, as I mentioned, the lab reports. The writing is used at times, depending on the instructor and depending on the course, as a form of almost personal narrative to allow the students to demonstrate to themselves as well as to the instructor that they know what is going on. It is one thing for a student to sit in a lecture and to listen and take notes. It's another thing for them to understand what those notes mean and to have the student return to the text and to write about what they have learned. And writing across the curriculum doesn't necessarily mean they're writing enormous papers all the time, but I'll give you one example of something that was done not by Brenda but by some other folks in the sciences. At the end of a particular class or series of classes, the instructor will take 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, and have the students write a summary of what was covered in that particular class session. What are the high points? What do you know about whatever the topic was for this day? The students sit there and they write quietly. And they have the instructor collects those notes. They are not graded as we would a regular English theme, but they are reviewed by the instructor very quickly to see, okay, students are getting things, students are not getting things. And then at the beginning of the next class, the instructor takes maybe 3 minutes or 4 minutes to say, okay, this is what I saw in your papers, and you totally missed the point that I was getting at with this or that. Or you seem to have a pretty good control over this. More importantly, if most of the students understand what's going on in the biological, whatever mm-hmm. it would be, but these three students over here just couldn't articulate what it is that they did in that last class, that instructor knows, okay, these students need a little extra help. We're going to send them to the Student Success Center, work with the tutors. They need to spend some more time on this because they don't know what's going on. So the writing helps them learn or demonstrate what they don't have not yet learned in order to become stronger biology students.
So are teachers in other disciplines encouraged to include writing, or must they, or?
Well, do you have time for a little history?
Yes.
Because, you know, things are evolving, and I've been in this role now since 2000, and I'm nearing the end of this road, so I'm seeing some changes. But we're also seeing it nationally, changes. Writing across the curriculum, WAC, was the big thing. Well, that soon we figured out maybe isn't quite what we're talking about. More WID, writing in the disciplines. So really stressing the way different disciplines use writing. But we're also noticing that the instructors, how to put it, the instructors are now using writing in ways that are not traditional theme writing, but they are using writing which is specific to this, to the learning goals they have for the class. A particular, what we call writing intensive class, is good. There's a certain amount of writing that must be done. Recursive writing must occur. Peer editing is important, or peer review is important, but also the instructor and outside eyes are used in this. So there's a whole structure that they go through for a WI course. I am seeing several of my departments now, accounting is one and several others, in which they said, well, WI is fine, writing intensive is fine, but really we want our students to become really strong writers by the time they graduate, and we are going to build into our curriculum regular, measurable writing activities to help our students so that by the time they get to the capstone course in this discipline, they will be able to attend to a major type of writing and do it successfully in the case of accounting, in accounting. So we are seeing some changes. We do still have 2WI minimum requirement for graduation, right, beyond English 101, but more and more disciplines are taking it on themselves to say, well, that's fine, we can have that, but we really want to see that is a to depend on 2WI courses and English 101 to produce quality college writers is fallacious thinking.
Well, advantage of that is that, you know, students used to think that was just something the English department made you do. And if they realize that writing is simply a part of life in any discipline, that is a good lesson to learn.
Well, any educated person,
right,
should be able to write.
But there's been a gap now in the past where you find so many people who don't know how to write, cannot put declarative sentences together. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought, boy, if you're not learning how to write, that's as bad as not learning how to speak. Because writing, you know, it's reading Make It the Full Man, Conference Ready Man, and writing a full man, a reading in one of those things. But if you can write, if you can express yourself, that's critical.
Let me go back to one more basic, because it bothers me to listen to newscasts that don't know the difference between lie and lay and me and I.
Well, that's
where does grammar come in all of this?
Well, are you talking about grammar? Are you talking about usage, or are you talking about dialect?
I'm talking about usage.
All right, because these continue to be issues of importance, clearly, especially in the English department.
This is too technical for me.
No. It somewhat addresses what you're talking about, though. It really does, Don. There are people who I can say, I think, with absolute surety that every one of my freshman students knows how to write, in the sense that they know how to put words on paper or type them on a screen, and by and large can produce sentences. The challenge we face is helping them to develop a sophistication of writing that really communicates. They often don't have a sense of audience, and therefore they're not sure how to address that audience in the words that they choose. Or they've been told someplace in high school, get a thesaurus, don't say the same word again and again and again, use a different one. And so we'll get really peculiar words. and that's not good writing either.
And the bigger the better, of course.
Well, or if they can put in more, right, because of the word count business.
Right.
So, yeah, to focus only on standard usage or what people call grammar misses the boat as well. I can have a perfectly written paper, punctuated correctly, and all the rest, and it will be empty. There's nothing there. It's poorly thought through. There are no transitions. It doesn't make sense. We can also have papers that are perhaps a bit messy around the edges, but they actually say something. And then we need one more step where we go into copy editing and we talk about where the weaknesses are in that. Grammar is absolutely important. There's no usage is important. But that's not writing. I mean, periods and commas aren't writing. It's the ideas in the words and the selection of those words and the sequencing of those words. That's writing. And that's what students, they don't come with it. They have to have opportunities to exercise those mental muscles to create that over a period of 2 years or 4 years or whatever while they're with us.
That's interesting. In speech class, I used to use Dizzy Dean, who did color on baseball games. And his language was atrocious, but he certainly conveyed exactly what was happening and exactly what he meant. He slid into third, you know.
Right.
So in order to get those two things together, the technical and the human side, let's say, that takes a little doing.
The other problem with that is that usage is constantly changing, you know, and I think an English teacher has to decide, am I going to be a policeman and be the last one to give up lie and lay, or should I be a gorilla and encourage the change? Go ahead. You know, say it the way you want. You know, for my mother, for instance, shall and will were absolutely important. And the minute I used shall where I should have used will, I heard about it.
And
well, by the time I got to college, I don't think even my teachers used.
I know someone who resolved a 2-year dispute among federal agencies by pointing out that the bill said shall rather than will, and that made a big difference. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in legal terms, yes, those words do. They absolutely mean something different.
But I think the average person and the average English teacher probably isn't going to pay a lot of attention to that.
That's true.
But it just grinds me that people don't use lie and lay correctly. But that's because lie and lay are disappearing.
As are who and whom.
Yeah.
Whom is pretty well dead. We've lost fewer. And that hurts me deeply. Everyone says less.
Yes, I know.
And I hear it on the radio all the time.
Amount and number. That just drives me crazy.
There'll be less cars going across the government bridge today.
Well, gentlemen, we're going to have to go cry by ourselves.
Oh, no.
Time is running out for us. Michael, this has been terrific. We could talk all night on this. And Lowell would absolutely turn purple by the time we're finished.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me in.
Oh, Michael Hustedy, who teaches writing across the curriculum at St. Ambrose University. And right now, a fellow who doesn't so much teach as exhort us and inspire us, talking about Garrison Keillor with the Writer's Almanac.